All right, if you keep your scripture open where we just read, again, we'll continue our study on the life of Joseph. Give you a little background again to what happened here. Remember now, Joseph is now the second person in command in Egypt. Egypt was probably the most powerful nation in the world at that time. And so he is there. And you remember that because of the famine in the land, it not only affected Egypt, but affected all of Canaan also. They were starving of food. So Jacob sent 10 of his sons. He had 11 because, remember, Joseph, they didn't realize it was down in Egypt. They thought Joseph was dead. So he sent 10 of them down there to get some food. And so they went down to get some food, and Joseph recognized them, but they did not recognize him. So Joseph was trying to devise a plan to get his family down to Egypt. So basically, remember the story, is basically he accused them of being spies. He said, "You're here to spy out the land. You're not here, the people you said you are." And he said, "What I'm going to do is I'm going to keep one of you with me and send the rest of you back. And you told me about a younger son. And to know that you're telling the truth, I want you to go back home, bring a younger son back here with you, and I'll know you're telling the truth." And so they did that. And in the process, Joseph took the money that they brought down for the food, put it back in their sacks, unknowingly to them. So the story is now they went back down to their homeland in Canaan, and now is reporting to their father, Jacob, what was happening. So if you didn't get a handout tonight, our men in the back could bring that to you. If you hold your hand up real high to make sure you got one of those. And if you take out your notes, I'd like to go over this. What I want to encourage you to do, we're going to cover exactly the scripture that Pastor Rick had read. I hope you fill in the blanks. My desire is that you might really understand and know this wonderful story about a man called Joseph. So I hope you fill in these blanks, go back over them when you get a chance to see what God was doing in the life of Joseph and his other brothers who were so mean to them. If you did not get a handout tonight, the men are passing those out. Make sure you raise your hand to get one of those. Some more up here, Brother Phil. It'd be great. Don't raise like this. They can't see it. Raise it like this. Raise it like they have a $1,000 bill to bring. Okay. We have more over here. To me, this is one of the most interesting stories in the Bible, where Joseph, if any man had a human right to get revenge, it was Joseph. His brother was so mean to him, sought to kill him. And because of their selling the slavery, remember, he spent years in prison. And now God orchestrated all that to exalt him to be second man in Egypt. And he did not have any animosity or vengeful spirit toward his brothers, because he saw God's hand in the matter of the whole thing. So often we go through difficult times and we leave God out of the picture. And because of that, we get angry at people because we think, "You caused this. You're doing this to me." And don't realize God may have his hand in everything. I will not go over the story again. We've done that several times. But God's fingerprints are all over the situation. And to the point, he brought Joseph down to Egypt. And now the second person in command of all of Egypt. So let's begin, number one. We're going to look at Jacob's initial resistance and reluctance. Remember, the boys come back and said, "Listen, they've kept one. Our brothers kept Simeon. Unless we go back with our younger brother, we will not be able to get Simeon back." And so Jacob was very resistant and reluctant to do that. Letter A, notice the return and the report. It said in verse 29, "And they came unto Jacob, their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell them, saying," number one, first of all, there's a false accusation. Remember, Joseph did it on purpose, but he accused them of being what? Of being spies. So there's a false accusation. The man, they did not know was Joseph, "who is the Lord of the land, spake roughly unto us and took us as spies in the country." Now you got to remember, Joseph is trying to work it out to bring his family down. He wanted to see his family again. Number two, the brother's response to this accusation. In verse 31, "And we said unto him, We are true men. We are no spies. We be 12 brothers, sons of the father. One is not." Who is that one is not? Talking about Joseph. In other words, he's not with us anymore. And the youngest in this day with our father is in the land of Canaan. So that's the brother's response. So Joseph accused them of being spies. And the response said, we're not spies. There's 12 of us. And of course, there's one that's not. Can you imagine Joseph hearing that? Hey, I'm the one that's not. But one is not. We have one younger brother. And he's back with the father now. There's only 10 of us here. And so now, number three, now they're going to test their word. Joseph is going to test their word. It said in verse 33, and the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me. Take food for the famine for your households and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that you're no spies and that ye are true men. So I will deliver your brother and ye shall traffic in the land. Now, every time I read this, I think of the humanly way that Joseph could have responded. Remember, these are the 10 brothers who hated him, despised him, though he did nothing wrong, had him sold to slavery. And now Joseph is in a position he could have snapped his fingers and had them all killed. You know, all this time he could have been building up vengeance, a bitter spirit. But notice how kind he was to him. You can go back home, and he gave them food to go back home. And so we saw there the return report. There was a false accusation. We saw their response, and Joseph tested their word. Now, letter B. Now we have a discovery and discussion. Number one, the discovery of the money. Remember, Joseph took the money that they gave for the food and secretly put it back in the sacks. They did not know that. Now they have traveled all the way back home. And said, verse 35, it came to pass as they emptied their sacks that, behold, every man's bundle of money was in the sack. My friend, that was grace. I mean, he could have had them killed, they tortured them, whatever. He sent them back with food and also their money. And when both they and the father saw the bundles of money, they were what? And why were they afraid? In other words, they thought maybe Joseph finds out we don't have the money. Excuse me, that man found out we don't have the money. He had the money. He thinks we may have stole it. He's got a brother Simeon. He's going to have put him to death. So they didn't understand why it was there. So they were very afraid, though Joseph himself did that. Number two, we have the discussion among the family. Discussion among the family. In verse 36, we have a sorrowful response. A sorrowful response. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, me, have ye bereaved of my children? Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Notice now, Jacob says, all this is against me. You're doing this against me. Joseph is gone. Simeon is now gone. And you want me to take my youngest son, Benjamin, and send them down there too? So he had a very soft response to that. Letter B. Here Reuben, the oldest son, has a proposal. And look at the proposal he gave to his dad. Verse 37. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. That's a notable response, but Reuben didn't know that. He went down there. He'd have no control over that, but he's trying to get his dad to send his son back down there. And notice, let us see, Jacob's refusal. Jacob's refusal. Verse 38. And Jacob, he said, my son, which is shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, talking about, of course, Joseph, and he is left alone. Is mischief befall him by the way that which ye go? Then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. I think one of the greatest sorrow a person goes through is losing a child. And some of you have done that. Here's Jacob. In his mind, I've lost Joseph. Now, possibly, I've lost Simeon. And the idea of sending my youngest son and lose him also, he says, you're going to take me to the grave. This will kill me if this happens. So he refused to do what Joseph, which he did not know, told him he should do. So we have Jacob's initial resistance and reluctance. Number two, look at Jacob's final acceptance. Jacob's final acceptance. Verse 40, chapter 43, verse 1. Jacob's progression, notice here, in his struggle to deal with the circumstances. Letter A, first of all, you got denial and delay. Delay and denial. Number one, Jacob delays to deal with the situation. So many of us, when we have a problem, we put it off. Anybody here good at procrastinating? Can I share with you, that's one of my weaknesses, to put things off. And that's what Jacob was doing. By the way, why didn't he first send his sons down there to get corn? He was starving. And he's still, and now they're going to find out they've ate the food that Joseph sent back with them, and they're starving again. So he's putting this off. He knows it needs to be done, but he's putting it off. So Jacob delays to deal with the situation. Verse 1 of chapter 43. And the famine was sore in the land. It came to pass that when they had eaten of the corn which they had brought out of Egypt. So they ate up all the corn that was sent back to them, and now they're starving again. Number 2, Jacob's denial to cope. Jacob's denial to cope with the situation. He goes on to say, their father said unto them, go again and buy us little food. In other words, just don't do what the man of Egypt said, talking about Joseph. Go back down and offer more money. And so, number 3, here's Judah's reminder. Judah's reminder. Judah spake unto him, saying, the man, they did not know it was Joseph, did solemnly protest unto us, saying, you shall not see my face except your brother be with you. Talking about Benjamin, be with you. And so basically, we can't go back unless we send Benjamin with us. That's what he said. Again, what was Joseph trying to do? Get his family down there. Now, they didn't see this. Yet Joseph was trying to get his family back down to be with his family again. And again, how did Judah respond? Number 4, he refused. Here we have Judah's refusal. He said in verse 4, it said, if thou wilt send our brothers with us, we will not go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. They went down once. Joseph told them, you go back home, bring Benjamin. If you don't bring him, you stay home. You shall not see my face. So Judah says, go back and offer my money. We're not going to do it. The man made it clear, we will not see his face again without our brother Benjamin. So they began with the delay and denial, letter B. Now look at the blame and deceit. Notice how this Jacob's responded. Number 1, Jacob digresses into blaming. Jacob digresses into blaming. And verse 6, and Israel, that's another word for Jacob, wherefore deal ye ill so ill with me? In other words, he's blaming them for his problems. You did this. Instead of dealing with it in reality. By the way, notice throughout this, do you ever see Jacob stopping and praying? Do you ever see Jacob seeking God's face? What shall I do? God's being left out completely. And so now, instead of trying to deal with this from God, you know, say, God, I need help here, and could you help me this matter? He now blames his other sons. You did this to bring hurt and illness on me. So Jacob digresses into blaming. Number 2, Jacob suggests that it would have been better to deceive. Jacob suggested it would have been better to deceive. He says in the latter part of verse 6, he said, wherefore you dealt so ill with me as to tell the man whether you had a brother. And they said, the man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have you another brother? And we told him, according to the tenor of these words, could we certainly have known that he would say, bring your brother down. So basically, Jacob basically said, listen, you've done this against me. And by the way, it would have been better if you lied to the man. And they said, listen, we didn't know he had asked for this. We just answered this man's question. We did not know he would ask us to bring Benjamin down. So here's this great man of God called Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who now is blaming his sons, you're trying to hurt me, and you should have lied to that man. You shouldn't have told him we had another son. Number 3. Now Judah offers a solution. Judah offers a solution. In verse 8, and Judah said unto Israel, talking about Jacob his father, lend, he said, send the lad with me, and we'll rise, the lad talking about Benjamin, and we will rise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou and our also our little ones. I will be surety for him, and of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we have lingered, surely now we have returned the second time. So another son, Judas, said, listen, let's send him. You can put the blame on me. I'll do everything I can to make sure I get him back. But we are without food. We're dying. If we don't do something, we will not live. So I will go down there. If you send him with me, I'll do my best to make sure we get him back. So we had a delay, a denial, a blame and deceit. Let us see now the acceptance and a plan. Now, Jacob accepts in the plan situation. Number one, Jacob reluctantly gives in. Jacob reluctantly gives in. In verse 11, it says, and the father Israel said unto them, if it must be so, now. If it must be so, let's do it. Number two, Jacob's hopeful plan. Number one, Jacob reluctantly gives in. Number two, Jacob's hopeful plan. So Jacob says, okay, if we need to do this, let's do it. But now he puts a plan together to try to make sure it's successful. Letter A, he said, take gifts. Take some gifts. When you go back down there, latter part of verse 11, he said, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels and carry down a man, a present, a little balm, a little money, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. He's trying to win the man's favor. So take down some gifts. Letter B, take twice the money. Take twice the money. In other words, when he asked for corn, take twice as much. He said, and take double money in your hand. So basically, take some gifts to kind of butter up the man, make him feel good about us. The money he asked for the corn, take twice as much. And letter C, also return the original money. Remember, they found it in the sacks. Return the original money. It says in verse 12, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. So basically, he says, let's do everything we can to make sure this is a positive situation. So we had a delay and denial, blame and deceit, acceptance and a plan, and letter D, now the abandonment and little faith. An abandonment and little faith. In verse 13, number one, it says, a resignation to the situation. A resignation to the situation. Verse 13, take also your brother and arise and go again to that man. Take gifts, take double the money, take the original money, and he kind of resigns, take your brother too. Something's got to be done. And number two, here we finally see a glimmer of faith. Number two, a glimmer of faith. Look in verse 14, please. It said, and finally he brings God into the picture. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And the men took that present. They took the double money in their hand and Benjamin and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Again, if you notice the situation of trying to deal with a very hurtful time, trying to get the brother back, trying to get food. Here, Jacob, not one time did you see him ever pray. I don't know about you. I've been praying over and over again. God, you need to help us here. He didn't do that. He was trying to deal with this in a human manner. So let me give you some principles to apply here. So wrap up the story tonight. Principles to apply. Letter A, remember to view problems vertically rather than horizontally. Remember to view problems vertically rather than horizontally. What do I mean? He viewed problems all this way. This is your doing. You against me, you're going to take me to grave and deal with things this way. But he never brought God into the picture. My friend, when tragedy sets in, if you leave God out, it's just unbelievable to deal with. So deal with every situation vertically. Keep God in the picture rather than horizontally. Letter B, remember to start with prayer, then act. Remember to start with prayer, then act. So many of us in situations, for Christmas, we bought a little Nova, a trike. It had a little wagon behind us. I don't know about you. What I normally try to do is a challenge. I try to put it together without looking at the plan. Anybody else do that beside me? Raise your hands so I don't feel alone. Anybody here? Many of you do, okay? And so I got it all together. And then what we did is we'll give it to her Christmas morning. So I took it across the street and asked my neighbor to hold it. Because Nova, when she comes to the house, she goes everywhere. And I asked them, if you hold this until Christmas morning, we'll come back and get it. So I so proudly put it together in one time look at the instructions. I went over there and gave it to him. So Christmas morning, Nova sent over our presents and said, Nova, got one more thing for you. And so I run over there to the house and I brought it back, and she was so excited. She gets on it, begins to pedal, and the pedal just spin. And the tire would not move at all. And basically, there was one little screw I forgot to put in the axle to get it to move forward. And so many of us today, when we go through problems, we don't look at the instructions. We try to deal with it on our own. We never go to God. We don't pray about it. And we wait till we try everything else. And when all else fails, what do? Then we pray. Did you notice it wasn't until the very last verse that Jacob finally said, if God prevents her? He tried everything and failed every time and finally brought God in. I wonder if he brought God in the first time, he could have bypassed so much hurt and sorrow, all the blaming and all the difficult times. So letter A, remember to view problems vertically rather than horizontally. Letter B, remember to start with prayer, then act. And letter C, and this is so important, remember God is ultimately in control. Remember, God is ultimately in control. That doesn't mean we need to respond irresponsibly. We should pray about everything. But if we do everything, if we should pray about everything and also do everything we can in faith, just trust God. God's only in control. And he left God out of the whole situation. By the way, was God in control of this? Yes, he was. His fingerprints was all the situation. And so many times we can look in the past, a horrible situation, look back how God brought us through, and can see God's fingerprints all over it. The same is true in the future. When you come into some difficult situation, do not leave God out. God has a purpose and plan for every one of us, and he wants us to seek his face first, not last. Go to the instruction book first and not last, and how we can avoid so much hurt, heartache, and problems. We'll continue our study on Joseph the next Sunday night. We're together. Go ahead and close your Bibles, please, as we close our service. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. How many know that verse? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Amen. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy path. And so trust in him with all your heart. But the problem is we lean to our understanding. We leave God out, leave out the word. We try to approach the situation the best we understand, the best we know how, and how we go through so many hurts and problems. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. If you notice, Jacob did not acknowledge God to the very end. And maybe by chance you're here tonight and you're going through a hard time. Maybe physically, maybe financially, maybe problems in your marriage. And have you stopped to seek God's face in the matter? Have you looked at this vertically and not just horizontally? Have you realized God's hand might be in those situations? And I want to encourage you to look to him. But maybe by chance here tonight, and you, even not even certain, you have a relationship with God. You don't know that heaven's your home. I think, to me, one of the greatest things we can ever know in this life is that when we die, we can go to heaven. So as I close, let me ask you a question. And you just answer this to yourself, a question I ask quite often. If you were to die tonight, or 10 years from tonight, do you know for certain you go to heaven? Let me find out what kind of crowd we got here tonight. How many know for certain without a shadow of a doubt, if you die, you go to hell? Raise your hand, please. Okay. Wow. Okay. How many of you know for certain you go to heaven? Raise your hand, please. Okay. All right. God bless you. I had to wake you up. But maybe you could not raise your hand. But the Bible says you can know you have eternal life. It's not because of anything that you do, but rather what Christ has done for you. That's the reason we can be assured of our salvation. Is salvation dependent upon something you do, or something you have to do, or something you have done? You can never be certain about it, because you don't know if you've done enough or how much you have to do. So you got to keep on hoping. But all the work of salvation, the price for your way to heaven, has been finished and done. We call it the finished work of Christ, the payment he made on the cross. Our part is to trust, to believe in Christ as Savior. He did the work. He paid the price. Our job is to believe it. Have you ever personally trusted Christ as Savior? If you have, you have a promise of a God who cannot lie that heaven's your home. And you can say, sure, upon his word, I know heaven's my home. But if not, why not get that settled tonight? Let's bow together, please. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, as we conclude our study on Joseph, it's always my desire, if someone ever comes to our church not knowing heaven's their home, they would leave having that assurance, knowing they have eternal life, that they've been forgiven, and heaven is their home forever. And that's made possible through what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Your part is not to make any kind of promises to God, not to make some kind of commitment to God, not trying to surrender something to the Lord, but rather receive what he's done for you and trust him as your personal Savior. Chances are most of you have done that, maybe all of you. Tonight, so many, most of the hands went up knowing heaven's your home. But if you cannot answer with certainty you have eternal life, why not get it settled right now? Why not talk to the God of heaven, who only he knows your thoughts, and put your trust, your dependence in Christ to be your Savior, and God's promise to you is eternal life. So if you never have done that before and like to do it tonight to get it settled, to know for certainty you have eternal life, heaven's your home, talk to God right now. And maybe just say something like this. Just say, dear God of heaven, I know and I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And because I've sinned, I have earned, I deserve your punishment. But God, I believe that your son Jesus was punished in my place. The judgment I deserve because of my sin, Jesus your son took upon himself. And there on the cross, he suffered and bled and died for my sin. And he was buried, and I believe he rose again. And right here tonight, I'm trusting Christ to be my Savior. I'm trusting him to forgive me and to give me eternal life. His head's bowed and eyes are closed. My friend, did you pray that prayer with me tonight? Did you just right there put your trust, your dependence upon Christ to save you? If you did, heaven's now your home. That's not my promise, that's God's promise. Because your faith in his son to be your Savior. So I'd like to close praying for anyone that may have made that decision. If you made that decision tonight and you trusted Christ with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just indicate that to me by simply raising your hand and putting it down so I could pray for you tonight? Anyone at all? Pastor, here's my hand. I trusted Christ. Would you pray for me tonight? Anyone at all? Father, I hope that since someone raised their hand, they've already made that decision. And truly, everyone here has eternal life and heaven's their home. But Father, may we learn from the life of Joseph, most of all from the life of his father, and how he responded to problems, and he responded by leaving you out and going through so much heartache and hurt and a lack of decision making because he did not seek your face. Father, help us to be people that seek your face in every decision we have to make and look to you for direction and counsel and hope. Father, help us to learn from the story tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.